Right now, we're looking back to talk about some of the biggest stories in technology of 2017. Joining us is Shira Ovide, technology reporter for Bloomberg Gadfly. Welcome to Central Time, Shira.
Thanks very much.
So, Shira, you wrote a piece ranking 8 of the biggest themes in tech this year. I want to start off by talking about your number one item, and that is technology's reckoning. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think one theme that was so clear this year was some of the darker sides of technology products and the companies behind them. So most prominently was probably this year the Russia investigation and their influence into the 2016 election. It roped in Google, Facebook, Twitter, and other technology companies because it became clear that Kremlin-backed groups used those digital platforms to spread misinformation, to try to sow division among Americans, and the social media companies became a very useful tool to do that, and that has invited some very unwelcome questions and potential regulation into the backyards of some of the biggest and most powerful technology companies in the world.
So if there's fault to be assigned, would you put that on the products and the companies producing the products, or more by consumers using these platforms, perhaps not in the most responsible way?
Look, I think there's plenty of blame to go around, that in some ways, big technology hangouts like Facebook are reflections of society, right? So if they're corrupt, it's in part because were corrupt too. But it's also true that these companies, they got huge numbers of people using them, billions of people in the case of both Facebook and Google. And for a long time, they didn't necessarily have to tackle the downsides of these kinds of technologies, whether it was they became these kind of hotbeds for hatred, or that misinformation spread much more quickly than truth, and that, you know, these products in some cases are addictive. You can just look at how much time people spend staring at their smartphones, right? So they didn't necessarily have to take responsibility for some of those downsides for a long time. And I think this year it became clear that there were so many drawbacks to some of these technologies that the companies had no choice but to start to acknowledge the problems and try to deal with them.
Right. It almost seems like up until this year, a lot of these big tech companies and platforms were almost touting the fact that they weren't taking responsibility. They probably wouldn't have put it that way, but that, you know, they were allowing these platforms to kind of grow in an organic way without them overmanaging it. But that really kind of came home to roost in 2017.
I think that's exactly it. And I think for a long time, for good reasons, right, they were more or less hands-off and said, look, the way to fight misinformation is with more information, right? We need to have this be a free and open place for communication. That's what the internet was sort of built to be about, right? That there were no moderators, that this was a free place where people could exchange ideas and communicate and, you know, create the content that people wanted to see and read. And now it's unclear exactly how they put the genie in a bottle, back in the bottle, in a responsible way. Do you want Facebook and Google to sort of say what's okay and what's not okay to say online? I think most people are uncomfortable with that idea, but at the same time, the status quo is not okay either.
We're talking with Shira Ovide, technology reporter for Bloomberg Gadfly. We're looking back at the year in technology. And Shira, you also talk about the Me Too movement, which certainly really was kind of on everyone's list in some way or another. But you specifically look at it as a moment in the tech industry. Why was the tech industry so affected by the Me Too movement?
Yeah, well, I think the misconduct allegations were maybe less visible in technology than they were in some other areas like politics and like media and entertainment. But the issue here is that the technology industry has always presented itself as a pure meritocracy, right? That no one cared where you went to school or who your parents were. The only thing that mattered was the quality of your ideas and how hard you worked. And I think, obviously, that's not true, and I think that's become something that the industry has had to reckon with the last few years. The fact is, most companies, I'm sorry, the majority of employees at most tech companies are largely white or Asian men. You know, women have been talking about discrimination, both kind of misconduct, sexual misconduct kind of discrimination, and just sort of petty acts of discrimination for a long time, and same for people of color. And I think the industry has, again, sought to reckon with that. As it's become more powerful, those kinds of inequities have become more glaring.
You know, it seems like in some ways for the Me Too movement of this year, there was the initial kind of shock and revelation with the Bill Cosby case. And then, you know, really coming out in so many areas this year. It also feels like Gamergate, where women in gaming were being attacked really viciously, was almost kind of that precursor for the Me Too movement in the tech industry this year as well.
I think that's right. Yeah, and I think there's a connection right between the first topic we talked about, which is this tech reckoning, and this Me Too movement, and that's Gamergate is kind of a thread between both of those, right? That it was both about women not having a safe place in the technology industry, and also about social media being used as a way to kind of harass and attack people of underrepresented groups.
So Amazon obviously is a huge player in the tech industry and more, and now even expanding further with its purchase of Whole Foods this year. You know, when Amazon became such a player, there was concern that, you know, online shopping and this online retail giant was going to do away with brick and mortar stores, and here they are buying brick and mortar stores. What does this mean for tech and for consumers?
Yeah, it's really ironic, isn't it? So a few things. One, you're right, is Amazon, it was very clear this company is inescapable. They're a beast in online shopping. They have this sort of new hit with these Echo voice-activated home speakers. You know, I think this splurge into grocery with the Whole Foods purchase was really surprising. But to me, you're right that the purchase of Whole Foods is, in a way, an admission of weakness on the part of Amazon. They've been trying to get big in groceries for 10 years on their own with an online delivery service. It clearly wasn't working. And, you know, the way to make it work, Amazon decided, was to buy 450 brick-and-mortar stores. And that's not their only bet on physical retailer now opening physical bookstores in a number of cities. They have sort of mini Amazon stores within a handful of Kohl's department stores in Chicago and Los Angeles. So, you know, this is a company that was born online, that did basically all of their business online, and now they're starting to realize, wait, you know, 90%+ of U.S. retail sales happen in physical stores. Maybe we need to get in on that too.
So this is this next item is one that is really kind of visible in many different areas, and it's a focus on video. And certainly video is nothing really new, but Facebook and other popular social media apps have really been rewarding users and sometimes even paying users to create video content. Why is there such a big push for video?
I think it's been a really interesting transformation of the internet. Part of it is that with now that most people have smartphones and the cellular networks are pretty fast, we can now have videos with us on the go, and it's not this kind of slow, pokey experience that you and I probably remember even from just a few years ago with you know, buffering and all this terrible experience. So part of it is just the maturation of our smartphone networks, and part of it is, look, if you look at the television industry, and television viewing, it has been the most popular form of entertainment across the world for decades. Americans, on average, watch 4+ hours of television every day, and you know that's an incredibly alluring target. If you're a company like Facebook or Google, where you have 1+ billion users, and you look at all the time that people are spending on TV, you want those people to spend their time with you, and you want the advertising money that's going into Super Bowl ads to be spent on Facebook and Google and not on CBS and NBC. So, you know, that's been a really interesting shift, and it's going to continue to be a big bet by these tech companies that the internet is going to be more and more video driven.
But video also takes up a lot more bandwidth and has implications for infrastructure. Is that of any concern for either platforms like Facebook or the hardware producers who are trying to keep up with these trends?
It's an incredibly important question and one that too few people pay attention to. Yeah, I'm incredibly worried about whether the infrastructure that we have, both, you know, the broadband to our homes and the cellular networks to our smartphones, whether they can support the entire internet basically turning over to this kind of web video experience. I don't know what that's going to do to our infrastructure and who's going to pay for it.
Well, Shira, in just the last 30 seconds or so, are there any fun new releases in technology that got you excited this year?
I'm not a big video game person, but I know a lot of people who love games and are addicted to the Nintendo Switch, which is this kind of clever Nintendo handheld device that they released this year and that took off like wildfire.
All right. Well, we'll take a look at that. Thanks so much for joining us, Shira.
My pleasure.
That was Shira Ovide, tech reporter for Bloomberg Gadfly. She joined us to talk about the big themes in technology for 2017.